conjunction with the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, funding the Jazz.Next project.
Jeff Shapiro joins us now from the Richmond Times-Dispatch, as he does every Friday morning at this time, to analyze the week's news in Virginia politics. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Wayne.
How are you doing? Enjoying this nice weather, I hope.
It's a little disorienting. As a friend once said, Virginia hasn't seasons, it has weather.
Yeah. Well, the General Assembly is winding down its 2011 short session, about a week to go, and as usual, senior lawmakers are trying to hammer out a budget, or in this case, an amended budget. And there's a new wrinkle this week. They found out they've got to come up with, I think it's another $30 million right away and more in the long term, to meet some mental health funding mandates that have come down.
Yes, as we enter the final stretch, there are some big dollar differences between the House and Senate on education, on transportation, on a bailout for the state employee pension fund. And as you say, there is this new wrinkle. And that is doing something about the mental health system. It's $30 million up front, but $2 billion long term, according to the McDonnell administration. All this money has to be spent to make sure that Virginia is in compliance with federal civil rights guidelines when it comes to the care and services for the intellectually disabled. Election pressure is considerable this year. Legislators will be running this fall in newly drawn districts. That will keep these men and women at their desks and presumably intent on completing their work on time. And to get done next Saturday is important because that way they can get on with the really important business of this year, and that is raising money for the House and Senate elections. Remember, while legislators are at work in Richmond, and I guess it's debatable whether they're actually working all the time, they are prohibited by law from raising money. Now, by the way, one little quick wrinkle, there's that word again. Dick Sasslaw, the majority leader in the Senate yesterday, gave the Senate's most reflexive anti-tax Republicans a chance to cut taxes by $300 million. He suggested they do away with the hotel-motel tax in their areas. They got very jittery about it and said were they to vote to repeal taxes, taxes important to their localities, those counties and cities, including Colonial Heights and Hanover, might have to default on their bonds. So it was a bit of gamesmanship and raised a few eyebrows.
Right. Just over 3 minutes to go. Pressure is mounting on former Governor Tim Kaine to run for Jim Webb's Senate seat next year.
Yes, Tim Kaine is Hamlet, to run or not to run. Jim Nolan at the Times-Dispatch broke the news last night that former Governor Kaine, now the chairman of the Democratic National Committee, won't announce his Senate intentions tomorrow night at that big Jefferson-Jackson Day dinner. This is the Democrats' annual fundraising event. He is going to wait now until March. Now, of course, everyone seems to want Kaine to run. Jim Webb, the one-term wonder who's giving up that seat, he wants him to run. Perriello is waiting in reserve if Kaine punts. The President of the United States, one of Tim Kaine's good buddies, has discussed the race with the former governor and says Tim Kaine would make a great senator. So there seem to be lots of things suggesting Kaine is moving in the direction of a run, but we're going to have to wait, and perhaps there'll be a surprise finish.
Mm-hmm. It's a little over 2 minutes now. Well, what's this ABC board flap at the General Assembly all about? Some legislators found out about a settlement in a lawsuit that they didn't know about and got kind of upset about it.
Oh, a super secret settlement, Wayne. One of the big outdoor advertising companies sued the state, saying that the prohibition on advertising of alcoholic beverages was unconstitutional. There is something known as free commercial speech. The Attorney General's office looked over these allegations and said, you know, we can't defend ourselves on this. And so a settlement was reached. But, of course, it was never announced. And a lot of the legislators are concerned about this because they believe, or they are suspicious, that the administration tried to keep this under wraps to prevent it from disrupting that second failed effort to get Virginia out of the liquor business. So this has put a big dent in Bob McDonnell's credibility with the House Republicans, his friends, and I wonder if it would further slow any efforts towards privatization downrange.
And another former governor, Douglas Wilder, made a statement this week, put out, an email, saying, yes, the Slavery Museum in Fredericksburg will eventually be built, despite taxes that are owed to the city of Fredericksburg and an apparent standstill in fundraising and other obstacles.
Governor Wilder just turned 80. He's had a spectacular and fascinating career. This would seem to be a somewhat sour note on which to end it, though he says that the museum will be built, that this is just a problem that is associated with a bad economy. Fundraising is tight. People should be patient. But the city of Fredericksburg is running out of patience because of unpaid taxes, and donors who have given artifacts are running out of patience as well, and some of them would like their stuff back.
All right, time's just about gone for today, Jeff, so we'll say thanks for now and talk to you next Friday morning at this time.
Roger that.
Jeff Shapiro joins us on Friday mornings at this time to analyze Virginia political news. Portions of today's programming are made possible by the Hock Kuhn family in memory and celebration of the light that is Happy Ann, daughter, sister, friend. They're still surrounded by her love.
It's Morning Edition from